Penguin Random House Audio presents Misrule, Book 2 of the Malice Duology by Heather Walter. Read for you by Anne-Marie Gideon. For every reader who made space in their hearts for these books, I wrote Alice for you. And for Lindsay, always, who taught me that true love isn't just for fairy tales. Father, I am waylaid in Cardin, as my ship cannot manage the remainder of the voyage home. Briar is sacked. My crew and I barely escaped the harbor with our lives. The Briar King is dead, the realm aflame. I heard that Princess Aurora was cursed to sleep or to die. I do not know which is true, but she cannot have survived. There was a creature, winged and ravenous and brutal. I saw it rip a man in two with its claws, like something from a nightmare. But the monster is real, and the beast rules Briar. Missive from Prince Elias to the King of Rhina. Age of the Rose, 976. Prologue. A wispy plume of golden smoke curls up from the mash of ingredients in the mortar, tinged with the honey-sweet scent of grace blood. I flex my fingers, stiff after gripping the pestle for so long, and roll away the tension in my neck. I found this book in Willow House, I say, or what was left of it. You remember how strong those healing graces were? One almost ascended to be a royal grace. There was that courtier, I forget her name now. She was rumored to be over 100 years old because of their elixirs. I take the mortar and a spoon and go to the bed, still encased in bramble. Callow, my kestrel, warbles from her perch on a nearby stack of books. You see? Even Callow agrees. This must be the one. At my touch, the intertwined vines slither apart, revealing the sleeper inside. Even after all this time, my heart still flutters at the sight of her. Aurora. It's been nearly a year since that terrible night in the Black Tower when her hand met the spindle. But her bronze-kissed cheeks still carry their healthy glow. Her eyelashes flutter as she dreams, and her lips are slightly parted, as if she might wake up at any moment and end the nightmare of the last months. Day after miserable day of failed attempts to break her curse. Please, wake up, I whisper to her, tipping a small amount of elixir past her lips. The golden liquid slides over her tongue and into her throat. I hold my breath, clutching her hand. The seconds drag on, and then her pulse might be beating faster, stronger. The movement beneath her eyelids is more pronounced. I know that she inhales a deeper breath. Yes, this is it. She'll wake and then we can... Aurora's body abruptly goes slack. The heartbeat in her wrist slows until it is as faint as it ever was. Tears sting against my eyelids. One rolls down my cheek and splashes onto Aurora's coverlet, staining the embroidered line of dragons in flight. Damn, everything to the bottom of the sea and back. I hurl the mortar across the room. Its crash echoes in the tomb-like chamber. We'll try again. I swipe my sleeve over my nose, attempting to convince myself as much as Aurora. I found two more graces in the ruins of the common district yesterday. Maybe their blood is capable of what we need. I'll go to the dungeons and... A muffled thunk sounds in the distance, drawing me away from the bed into the craggy gap in the wall. The wreckage of Briar sprawls toward the sea. Smoke curls in long green tendrils from the husks of buildings and empty streets. Sometimes a shadow scurries from one hiding place to the next, likely a surviving citizen, thinking I care which rank hole they choose to burrow into and live out their miserable days. It makes no difference to me, so long as they don't trouble us. At least they've stopped trying to breach the palace. Another explosion reverberates on the wind. Beyond the districts, A fleet is cutting across the waves, closing in on the scraps of wood that used to be the harbor. More humans from across the sea, announcing their presence with cannon fire. I assume the arrogant fools seek to stake their claim on Briar and its Ethereum, like all the rest who have sailed to these shores. They would do better to turn around and go home, but none ever do. I sigh and prepare to shift. Wait, a shadowy voice in my head instructs, both mine and not mine. Let us greet them from here. Here. The harbor is miles away, and I'm so high up that the ships appear as small as my fingernail. There's no way I could possibly... Anything is possible with us, Pitt. A shiver of delight trills down my spine. I dive within myself and find that den where my power lives. But it's not just mine anymore. Not since that fateful night in the Black Tower, when Mortonia's magic was released from her medallion prison and melded with my own, creating the most formidable Vela power in existence. At a mere thought, the tether of magic unfurls. It races across the districts at impossible speed, and I'm hit with the competing scents of charred earth and iron-laced stone, all bits of magic I could grasp with mine and control, the same way I did when I took this realm. But I do not linger on such petty hearts of magic, amazed that the limb of my power does not strain in the slightest. I've been testing its limits over the last months, using it to mend holes in the palace walls and summoning giant waves to block encroaching fleets. Mortania's power has bolstered my own abilities to levels I'd never dreamed possible. Even so, I've never done this. My magic slams into the hull of a ship. The shock of it vibrates in my bones. Shifting my eyesight, I can just glimpse the massive vessel teetering like a child's toy. I sense the fear of the drowning sailors through the cord of my power. Hear the faint crunch of a mast snapping. An instant later, the sea claims the ship, swallowing it down in one gulp. My magic moves on to the next, and the next. Power sings across every nerve and raises the roots of my hair. Yes, Pet, this is what you were made for. I draw myself up, savoring her praise. But I wasn't always so receptive to the voice of Mortania. When I was the Dark Grace, her spirit haunted my nightmares. I'd been terrified of becoming as wicked as the stories rumored her to have been. By all accounts, I was. Shortly after my siege, the full weight of what I'd done to Briar settled over me. As I watched the realm burn, I thought of the citizens in the common district, many of whom might have hated the nobles as much as I did. The children. Even Hilda, the apothecary, who treated me almost as a friend. But she'd fled like all the rest, horror-struck by the winged beast unleashing its wrath on Briar. Take care you do not become the monster they believe you to be, she'd said. But a monster was what I needed to be all along. Mortania taught me that, and so much more in the last months. Her presence now is like a missing piece put back into place, one I do not intend to lose again. It's you. Callow screeches a warning, and my concentration shatters. I whirl around. The barrier of oil-skinned trees that block the door against Tarkin's army yawns wide, and there is a stranger standing at the entrance to the library. Who are... But my voice falls flat as my eyes travel over her. The long, lean-muscled limbs, jet hair threaded with russet, a gash just below a spike of bone on her forehead is scabbed with green. Green. Blood. More bone spikes travel down her rich brown forearms, along her collarbones, and across her forehead like a crown. Her eyes sparkle like emeralds. Deep in the place where my magic lives, Mortania's presence undulates. I have to peel my tongue from the roof of my mouth. I almost cannot say it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?